Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
Sheena Younger was dismayed.
Nobody wants a QAnon mayor. Come on.
It was early 2021 in Squim, Washington. And residents like Sheena were waking up to the alarming possibility that their local democracy might be in trouble. The mayor of the town, William Armacost, had just told the city manager, Charlie Bush, to resign just days after January 6th. This was the same mayor who praised QAnon, a baseless conspiracy theory linked to violence, on live radio. He called it a truth movement. After that, Sheena had publicly called on the mayor to resign. But now, with Bush's ouster, the stakes were much higher. To Sheena, her town was in the hands of a conspiracy theorist. So she had to do something. A few days later, Sheena organized a Zoom call with a few of her friends, and it quickly became clear that a lot of people in Squim were just as worried. And Sheena thought she could channel that energy into something good.
I felt so much anger around me, and I'm a little bit of an empath, but or more than a little bit. I felt so much anger around me that I knew that if I didn't, or somebody didn't, organize a healthy, positive flow of energy to get that out, it could go the other way.
That night, a coalition was born. It was called the Squim Good Governance League, and it was determined to prevent the town from falling further into conspiracy theories and political chaos. Led at first by Sheena, and later by other locals, the Good Governance League set its sights on an upcoming city council election in November 2021. The group wanted to get its own candidates into office, candidates committed to working together and focusing on local issues, and they wanted to take back power. My question was, how were they going to do it? And I mean that very specifically. I wanted to know the nitty-gritty details of how Sheena and her fellow activists were going to organize a movement around this idea of good governance. You hear about petitions, phone banking, and postcard campaigns. But what's the secret sauce for fighting extremism at the small-town level? Because it's not just in Squim. With the midterm elections coming this fall, there are dozens of extremist candidates running for office all over America, and they're already reshaping local life. You're listening to Bedrock USA, a production of Bloomberg City Lab and iHeartRadio, a podcast about political extremism, small town life, and the fight for democracy. I'm your host, Laura Bliss. I first talked to Sheena in early 2021, right around the time she was forming the Good Governance League. From then on, we talked fairly regularly, sometimes over the phone, other times by text, and occasionally on Zoom. One time, I got to meet her in person when my producer Kathleen and I visited Squim earlier this year.
My go-to is always queso.
On a rainy night in February, we picked up fajitas from a local Mexican restaurant and brought them over to her house.
Oh, you guys can follow me.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're the car.
Sheena is a single mom and works as a recruiter for a nearby hospital. She also pays pretty close attention to local politics. She's even volunteered on campaigns for a few county officials. But that's actually a fairly recent thing for her. In the days before the controversy over the Matt Clinic and the craziness with Mayor Armacost, she'd never really thought that much about her small town's city council.
It just was status quo, right? Our city camp, we had a great mayor. She'd come to our chamber meetings and was always out there at the ribbon cuttings. And the stories in the paper were like, the city approved the budget, you know? And you just are like, great, I live in a great city. And you just stop paying attention. And all of a sudden, a hairdresser who's a business owner is appointed to the city council. And you're thinking, oh, that's good. You know, I'd like to see more business owners involved. I think their voice at the table is really important. And so they appointed him mayor. And within the next couple meetings, he started speaking about himself as your mayor. And just some really odd things.
You heard all about those odd things that got Sheena's attention. The QAnon comments, the Punisher skull pin, and finally the ouster of Charlie Bush. And that was really the last straw for Sheena. She knew Charlie from her time in Squim's Rotary Club and various volunteer gigs. She thought he was the last person who deserved to lose his job.
Charlie was special. Charlie was one of the top three city managers in all of Washington State. There, we will never, ever, ever get somebody like Charlie.
So she started to organize. Like I said, the first thing Sheena did was set up a Zoom call to talk about what locals could do next. She created an event on Facebook and encouraged her friends to join and spread the word. Because even though it was still a pandemic, at least people could come together online.
I was at my friend Nicole's house, who's also a Rotarian friend of mine. She was going to help me take notes and all this stuff, right? And we'll get the Zoom going. And all of a sudden, the numbers are keep going up, 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 up. And I look at Nicole and I'm like, oh my gosh, like we could do something here. And she's like, what are you thinking? And I had like so many notes that I had written down based on like just campaign experience. It was just stuff. I think I still have that piece of paper somewhere. It was just all of my notes of all of the things that we could do if we had the people. And so all of a sudden we had the people.
More than 100 people showed up that first Zoom call, Sheena told me. And one thing became really clear to her. People were furious about the mayor's actions, and they were eager to express that anger. But Sheena knew that if they were ever going to actually change anything about how their city functioned, the Good Governance League had to not only be against something, they had to be for something too.
And so they wanted to protest the mayor and protest this. I said, nope, if you want to participate in this, we're going to rally. We're going to rally for Charlie. Okay. We're going to show Charlie that this city is behind him, regardless of what those four city councilors are going to do. The hundreds are behind him. We are going to rally. And that's what we did. We held a rally. There was a really great turnout. In fact, one of my friends, he sent me a really neat message and it said, I have not protested since 1968. And this was my entry back into that. And I couldn't have asked for a better reason or had more fun doing it, you know? So that was really neat.
The Good Governance League started out by being for Charlie Bush. Sheena even circulated a petition for him to keep his job. It didn't work, but their mission was bigger than Charlie. Sheena wanted the group to be a bulwark against anti-democratic forces. From there, she told me, it didn't take long for the Good Governance League to get off the ground. It was like the superpowers of Squim came together to fight. People came out of retirement, left and right, to roll up their sleeves. There was a local attorney who helped fill out paperwork to set up a 501c4. a former CPA who'd moved from Seattle, stepped up to be treasurer. A librarian and archivist who'd retired from the Library of Congress, volunteered to do research.
All of a sudden, I had the best people from our community step up to take on the roles.
Organizers set up a website where they announced monthly meetings, all over Zoom, of course, and declared their organization's mission. Their slogan went, quote, "Good governance builds community, irresponsible governance divides community." And meanwhile, a consequential decision was on the horizon, and that was who was going to replace Charlie Bush. Sheena and the Good Governance League worried that the city council, led by Mayor Armacost, would hire someone ideologically aligned with them. The league put out a press release, calling on city council leaders to hold off on finding a replacement until after the election in November. I talked to Sheena over the phone around this time.
They are rushing it through as fast as they humanly can. So it's very obvious that there's an agenda. You know, so we're all just kind of keeping our eye on that. But the main focus right now for us citizens and the Good Governance League is to get folks elected, is to right this ship.
Sheena knew that the stakes were high for the future of SQUIM. But it was also clear to her that the town had become, in some ways, like a microcosm of the U.S. Because by this point, what was happening in SQUIM was happening in other parts of the country, too. By spring 2021, Media Matters, a liberal media watchdog group, found 19 congressional candidates who espoused QAnon and who denounced plans to run in 2022. And similar candidates were aiming for local offices as well. Dozens of recently elected officials on school boards, city councils, and local GOP committees had promoted parts of the baseless conspiracy theory. And that wasn't a coincidence. Prominent voices on the right were telling followers, particularly QAnon followers, to get involved in local government. More on that after a quick break.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
So there's this gap, you know, and this void, and Michael Flynn sort of steps in a bit and like starts hammering home, like, run for, you know, get involved in local politics. He keeps hammering this one specific line that is local action equals national impact. He keeps saying it again and again and again in his posts. And Sidney Powell also says, run for school board or get involved with school boards. You have Lynn Wood, who was also involved in those efforts, also saying the same. And then over the following months, you started seeing QAnon influencers telling their followers to do this.
That's Alex Kaplan, a senior researcher at Media Matters for America, a left-leaning think tank that monitors right-wing misinformation. I called him up to better understand where the far-right's rush into local government was coming from. Because Squim seemed to be a precursor to something that had suddenly gone national. Alex told me that after Trump's election loss, followers of QAnon were like warriors in search of a battle. Q, the anonymous poster who'd fueled the conspiracy theory, had gone silent in online forums. So people like Michael Flynn, Sidney Powell, and Lynn Wood, high-profile associates of the former president and conspiracy theorists themselves, stepped in to fill the void. At conferences, on podcasts, and on social media, they told QAnon followers that they had a new mission: to get involved in local politics. Because, as Michael Flynn kept saying, local action equals national impact.
That tagline that Michael Flynn said is literally, like, now on the side of, like, one of the biggest QAnon forums on the internet.
That message really resonated, Alex said. Remember, QAnon started out as a web of lies and scapegoats, and it's linked to serious violence, both on January 6th and in the personal lives of some of its followers. And now QAnon was starting to morph into something even bigger. Anti-vaxxers started to glom on. So did election deniers, militia groups, and white nationalists. To use Alex's phrase, QAnon became a broad anti-reality network, giving a boost to other conspiracy theories and hate groups, and giving a boost to extremist candidates running for office. I'm telling you this because by the middle of 2021, Squim was starting to look like a bellwether of what was in store for the rest of America. I spoke to Lindsay Schubner, the program director for the Western State Center, a nonprofit focused on social justice and civil rights. She told me that this wave of extremism made groups like the Squim Good Governance League all the more important to document and understand.
You know, I think despite all this, right, I think it's really critical to recognize the incredibly vibrant field in this country that has developed to support democracy, right? There's a whole field of pro-democracy communities and organizations. And I think it's important to recognize that and also to appreciate the large coalitions of community groups and elected officials and state workers and educators who are really fighting every day to counter the threats that they're receiving and take action to strengthen inclusive democracy.
But in Squim, it wasn't going to be easy. Soon, it was summer of 2021. Around this time, Sheena got busy with personal stuff and stepped down as a leader of the Good Governance League. But other volunteers took the group forward. The next step was backing a slate of candidates for the upcoming city council election.
Hey, my name's Marsha McGuire. Last name is M-A-G-U-I-R-E.
Marsha is the retired librarian and archivist I told you about, the one who once worked at the Library of Congress. We talked on Zoom along with a couple of other Good Governance League volunteers earlier this year. Marsha told me she moved to Squim in 2016. Pretty soon after that, Trump got elected. Marsha, who was a Democrat, got involved in the local chapter of Indivisible, the left-wing grassroots organizing network. For years, she attended anti-Trump protests and phone banked for progressive candidates in Washington State. Like Sheena, she wasn't really paying attention to local politics when Mayor Armacost came into office.
And I think it was also because we realized we were in this situation because we had fallen asleep at the wheel.
So Marsha joined up with the Good Governance League. And when it came time for the group to choose a slate of candidates to support, it was clear to her that their political party was not the most important thing. After all, the positions on city council are supposed to be nonpartisan. What they needed were people who were committed to solving problems for SQUIM rather than winning ideological battles.
The logical thing was, yeah, we got to get some good candidates to support reasonable government and not one based on far-right ideology.
One of the candidates that the Good Governance League endorsed was Vicky Lowe. A lifelong SQUIM resident, she was a descendant of both the Jamestown Tsklallam tribe as well as one of SQUIM's original white settler families. You actually heard her in the last episode pleading to the city council to denounce the racism spewing on social media in response to the Matt Clinic. Vicky, who works as the executive director of the American Indian Health Commission for Washington State, had wanted a seat on city council for a long time. Now, she was throwing her hat into the ring for the official election. Here she is at a Good Governance League meeting in early 2021, talking about why she wanted a seat at the table.
But I think the piece that's really missing is that health and human services side and that part of our community that is maybe a little more marginalized and needs to get a voice on our council, and that's why I've applied.
But Vicky and the other candidates endorsed by the Good Governance League had competition, because another slate of candidates was also forming. They were all affiliated with a man that Sheena liked to call the Roger Stone of Tsklallam County. His name was Donnie Hall, and he was a strategist for the local Republican Party. And on the side, Donnie and one of his colleagues helped train and coach first-time candidates running for office in Tsklallam County. He told me,
"We like working with novices, true citizen candidates, even though the success ratio is pretty low. We like doing that because we feel, you know, again, closeness to the people that way. And usually a novice, a citizen candidate's running, they've got a gripe from the people's perspective, and usually we can sympathize with their gripe."
One of Donnie's early trainees was William Armacost, whom he helped get elected when he ran unopposed for SQUIM City Council. Donnie sympathized with Mayor Armacost's opposition to the Matt Clinic, and he didn't see the mayor's support for QAnon as a problem. He saw the removal of Charlie Bush as justified because of how the city had handled the Matt Clinic, and because he thought Charlie had been disloyal to the mayor. In Donnie's view, the Good Governance League's crusade to save Charlie Bush and their fight to take back city council were all part of the political elitism that Donnie and his candidates wanted to quash.
This was a classic case of populism versus the elites. The elites, in my opinion, they feel they lost big when they lost the city manager, Charlie Bush. That was never supposed to happen. They were happy having a city manager who pretty much ran the city as sort of a pseudo-mayor.
Now, Donnie and his colleagues were supporting five candidates for the upcoming election. They included the three city council members who'd voted alongside Mayor Armacost in favor of Charlie Bush's ouster, as well as two new additional candidates. And to clarify, Armacost himself was not up for re-election. Inside Save Our SQUIM, the Facebook group that had formed to oppose the Matt Clinic, members gave their endorsement to this group of candidates. Some labeled the Good Governance League as the choice of communists and socialists. Now, most of the candidates endorsed by the Good Governance League, like Vicky, did lean left in their political views. But one of them had actually once worked closely with Donnie Hall. That was Brandon Janisse, a sitting city council member who was running for re-election in November. Early on, Brandon had been a favorite among Save Our SQUIM members. He was a Republican with pretty conservative views on taxes and regulations. But Brandon switched sides, so to speak. He was still a Republican, but no longer affiliated himself with Donnie's group. He'd hitched his wagon to the Good Governance League, and now he was on their list of endorsed candidates. I wondered why. What made Brandon an example of the kind of good governance this group was trying to promote? I asked Sheena, and she told me I had to look back at what Brandon had done the night Mayor Armacost called for Charlie Bush's resignation. So for one last time, I watched the video of that city council meeting.
Thank you for your patience. At this executive session, we discussed the city manager, Charlie Bush. And as a result of this discussion, I am prepared to make the following motion.
When the mayor called for a vote on his motion to prepare for Charlie Bush's resignation, Brandon had been one of the two city councilors to oppose it. But not only that, right before the vote was taken, he very publicly stood up for Charlie.
And if we could do a roll call vote.
Can I make a statement real quick?
Go ahead.
Charlie, I don't agree with what's going on here, and I'm sorry that you are getting put through this, and that's all I got to say.
Watching this back, I thought that was pretty brave. I imagined it couldn't have been easy to go against the mayor, given the strong pull towards extremism on the council. I wanted to know what that was like for Brandon.
Hello, Brandon.
Hello.
So Kathleen and I met City Councilor Brandon Janisse at his home in Squim, where he has a Yorkie named BMO and a chicken coop in the big backyard. He works at the county jail, and he and his wife are foster parents. He's been serving on City Council since 2017 and told me his passion for public service stems from his time serving in Iraq.
Yeah, it put a lot of things in perspective kind of thing. A lot of it had to do with, you know, opportunity in Iraq. It's a war zone, they're rebuilding. So there's not either the social or the physical structure there, universities, things for kids to do kind of thing there that you would find here. So when you come back here and say, hey, you know, we have all this resources and opportunities to do something here that they don't there, let's try to, you know, figure out what we can do.
Brandon told me he joined the city council to work on things that matter to Squim. He's super into stuff like housing policy and economic development. And he thought Charlie Bush was a good city manager. So Brandon voted to keep Charlie and started campaigning with the Good Governance League. And he told me he was, quote, public enemy number one in the eyes of Squim conservatives. On social media, people called him disloyal, a flip-flopper.
Obviously, those that would have supported me in different roles or, you know, friends, if you want to call them, obviously a lot of those bridges got burned. It was hard, you know, because you always have, you know, you have a target on your back from, you know, those that thought you aligned with their ideology.
Attacks like this took a toll, Brandon told me.
There was some counseling sessions. I won't sugarcoat that. Dealing with things like, you know, PTSD kind of thing, coming back from Iraq. There's some strategies learned dealing with that type of thing that worked well with the anxiety that city council means.
But Brandon felt strongly about his commitment to public service. Local government should not be about political ideology, he told me. It's supposed to be about setting aside your personal views for the greater good. But as the November election drew nearer, Brandon's philosophy seemed to be losing out in Squim politics. That's coming up after the break.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
It was now fall 2021, 2 months before Election Day. And while Good Governance League activists were working on getting out the vote, things were heating up in town around vaccine mandates. Another big wedge issue that the city council was about to weigh in on. One night in early September, as the sun set on Sequim, a group of locals marched to what they thought was the private residence of the county public health officer to protest a new vaccine requirement for indoor dining. They also stopped outside Mayor Armacost's hair salon to show their support for him. When the mayor approached, the crowd cheered and asked for a word of encouragement. This was posted in a video on Twitter. Armacost wore a t-shirt emblazoned with a large gun and the words Trump 45, because the 44 didn't work for 8 years. He said,
encouragement here.
We the people, we're a lot stronger than a few individuals. We have constitutional rights. Our Washington State Constitution and the Constitution of the United States is being violated. We have worked our butts off as a council to provide over $500,000 to our small businesses. We created the Rapid Relief Small Business Fund that was a grant, it was not a loan, to help them to keep from going out of business when we were shut down.
Yes.
We are not going to sit idle with this.
Amen. And then the mayor said he was working on a solution with his city council.
We are going to have a resolution specifically dealing with this mandate to keep our businesses afloat.
Yeah.
They have worked their buns off to try to stay in business.
They've lost so much.
By the way, this protest wasn't all that successful, because when the group arrived at the address they'd found for the county public health officer, they discovered she no longer lived there. But they did ask her ex-husband, who answered the door, to deliver their angry message. He responded by telling them to leave his property. I've reached out to Mayor Armacost for comment many times throughout my months of reporting on Sequim. He's ignored most of my requests and declined one of them, directing me to speak to Donnie Hall. Anyways, the resolution the mayor had talked about came to a vote at City Council less than 2 weeks later. Armacost introduced it, and one of the other councilors read it out loud.
Okay, moving on to item 8.4, AB21-076, resolution expressing support for the rights of small businesses and essential workers.
Basically, this resolution was a statement of support for anyone in Sequim who believed their constitutional rights were being violated by the vaccine requirement for indoor dining. But really, this was a piece of government theater, since the city couldn't actually overrule the county's mandate. It seemed bound to cause confusion. But it passed 4-3, with the mayor and his allies voting yes. Remember, these were members who were appointed to the city council and who were now candidates up for election. The no's included Brandon, who basically said he thought the resolution contradicted the rule of law. And for that, Brandon got smeared on social media. People said that he was, quote, declaring his disdain for business owners and for the Constitution. But Brandon doubled down on his reasoning. In his mind, a resolution to oppose the county mandate had nothing to do with running Squim. Just listen to what he said at a forum sponsored by the Clallam County League of Women Voters later that month.
We all have feelings about those hot topic issues, but they have their own arena to be dealt with. We're legislating to legislate at this point and get involved with issues that we can't fix and forgetting who we really work for. We become almost like squabbling siblings. I really don't think a single mother, you know, working a full-time job at minimum wage is concerned about what resolution the council passes. You know, seniors, the same thing.
Brandon had just laid out a pretty inclusive vision of who he thought the government is supposed to work for. It shouldn't be just for a narrow slice of partisans, he was saying. Government is supposed to work for everybody. That's why the organizers behind the Good Governance League wanted candidates like Brandon on their slate. The important part was that he was committed to serving all of Squim and that he respected the contours of his role on city council. It didn't matter what his party registration was. And that has long been an overarching vision for local government, where neighbors are supposed to work together to get things done. It's why Squim and many other towns like it made council positions nonpartisan in the first place. Here's Marcia McGuire, the ex-librarian turned Good Governance League volunteer, talking about Brandon.
I wouldn't say he's anything like a Democrat or a left-leaner or anything like that now. He's still very much Republican when it comes to taxes and that, those kind of things. But we supported them. It was not a partisan thing. We were not trying to get a particular ideology. We were trying to bring in a government that was a city government that was looking at city issues, not making, you know, a national issue out of everything, and mostly not supporting right-wing conspiracy theories. We just wanted a sane, stable government and even get back to normal where the Republicans, you know, are more the Republicans I remember growing up, you know.
In the final weeks before Election Day, Good Governance League volunteers sprang into action. A former union organizer led the charge to canvass the town, sending volunteers door to door to talk to residents in person about what was at stake. Others wrote postcards encouraging neighbors to get out and vote.
And then we also put out biweekly email blasts, you know, to all our members comparing the candidates who were running.
By the time Election Day rolled around, Good Governance League organizers had done what they'd set out to accomplish. And that was to awaken residents to what was happening in their local government. Whereas a lot of Squim residents hadn't previously paid much attention, the Good Governance League had shone a bright light on the town's leaders. The day before the election, I called up one of the candidates, Vicki Lowe, to see how she was doing.
I think I'm excited because I feel like people really want to see that change and that hopefully will be reflected tomorrow when we get the final votes.
On election night, the Good Governance League held a watch party on Zoom. Everyone was there, streaming in from their respective homes. Sheena, Marcia, Brandon, Vicki. They'd done everything they could do, and now it was up to the voters. The results started trickling in a little after 8 p.m. And guess what?
Yay! Yay! Congratulations, everybody. I'm so proud of you.
On election day, Good Governance prevailed by a landslide. All five of the Good Governance League candidates won with more than 65% of the vote. That meant their entire slate was going to enter office. That included Vicki Lowe, and it meant Brandon Janisse had been reelected. Here's one of the Good Governance League board members speaking at the election party.
We're humbled and inspired by the results tonight and proud of these candidates who stepped up to serve their community. And we can't say enough to thank all those who have supported them to date.
I talked to Sheena after the election. She'd expected that the Good Governance League would win, simply because so many people were fed up with the antics of Mayor Armacost and his allies. But she was shocked by the margins. She had no idea they'd be so large. She told me she thought that the major factor behind that overwhelming victory came down to the group's organizing power. Simply put, the Good Governance League had made sure that their neighbors were paying attention.
I think there was also a large segment of our community that was unaware of what was going on because they don't pay attention. And I used to be one of those. So I know that they exist. And I really believe that all of the handwritten postcards, the doorbelling, the follow-up doorbelling, the continued conversations on social media, just the significant outreach that was done, that's the difference the Good Governance League made.
A few months later, Kathleen and I traveled to Squim. We wanted to see how the town was faring after the Good Governance League candidates had been sworn into office. By this point, Armacost was still on city council, but his old allies were gone. Now, Brandon told me, things were going better, more like they were supposed to. City council members were able to discuss actual policy issues and solutions to local problems. There were disagreements, for sure, but there was a sense of respect, he said.
We might have differences of opinions, but it's not going to be the same negativity that, say, could have happened in a prior council. There'll be, you know, I'm sure we'll have some discussion during this regular council meeting, but after it's over, you know, me and Luke will go have a beer or whatever you want.
So by early 2022, it seemed like things had started to calm down. The MAT clinic was nearly open to patients. A new city manager had been hired, and it seemed like he was working pretty well with staff and the new council. Not everything was perfect. Save Our Squim and other social media groups were still pretty lively, with racist comments and anti-government fervor. But the most important thing for Squim, Sheena said, was that those ideas weren't driving the narrative anymore. They'd been moved off center stage. Because the election had sent a loud message, she said.
But I definitely think that winning by that margin really drove it home to the people in this community that think like that, that they are in the minority. So maybe they need to consider either A, looking at themselves and the way that they're thinking, or B, maybe this isn't the right community for them. Maybe they need to find their community of people where they're in the majority. I don't know. So that's up to them. But I hope they really understand they're in the minority and the community isn't going to put up with that crap. And we sure are on watch now.
In reporting on Squim, I'd set out to understand what it took for a group of locals to fight back against the forces of extremism. And what I found was that it took a village. It took people like Sheena, Brandon, Marsha, and Vicky, who all had different backgrounds and skills, but who were all united by a shared commitment to democracy. And they put that commitment into action with the same tools that generations of organizers have used before. It's not all that new or complicated or even surprising. But what was eye-opening for people in Squim was how quickly things changed when they weren't paying attention, and how vulnerable their city government seemed to be in the current political environment. Could efforts like the Good Governance League be replicated? Yes, experts told me. But it's also worth pointing out that the folks in Squim had a lot of resources to draw on: education, time, and means. And Squim is a politically purple community, one that swings back and forth between parties and presidential elections. The pull towards radicalism might have been weaker there than in other places. Like Shasta County. Last we left off, Shasta was on the eve of another high-stakes election, one where far-right candidates were bidding for even more control of the county. The schools, the election department, the sheriff's office. Were voters there paying attention? That's next time on Bedrock USA. This episode was reported and hosted by me, Laura Bliss. Kathleen Quillian is our senior producer. Samantha Story is our story editor and executive producer. We had additional editing help from Nicole Flato. Original music and scoring by Zachary Walter, and audio engineering by Blake Maples. Jennifer Sondag is head of Bloomberg City Lab. Bedrock USA is a production of Bloomberg City Lab and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.